on a magnificent Tuesday afternoon. How's everyone doing? It's the Teddy Bear and welcome to Night Tracks Radio. And today's artist spotlight, Grammy winning saxophonist, the legendary Mr. Kirk Whalum is joining us this afternoon, and his long awaited new album, Epic Cool, due for release on May the 17th, but he has decided to bless us with the first single, Slice of Cheesecake from Epic Cool, of course, Badia. So on behalf of the Teddy Bear and Night Tracks, it's my pleasure to welcome to the show Mr. Kirk Whalum. How are you doing, brother?
Man, Teddy Bear, you already blessed me because you said Grammy winning saxophone player. Man, I'm going to consider you a prophet because, you know, I am a Grammy winning composer at this point. I have a Grammy for a song I wrote for Layla Hathaway on my gospel according to jazz series called It's What I Do. But maybe we're going to win us a saxophone Grammy.
No, man. No, maybe. We don't do maybes, man.
and, you know, just a big hello and blessings to your loyal fans. And say, you know, man, I truly was not motivated, you know, in my career by, you know, Grammys. Like, I was so busy trying to, and still am so busy trying to perfect this thing, the art of playing the saxophone. And the bar keeps getting raised higher and higher, and the age of the people doing it keeps going lower and lower. And so it's a constant source of inspiration and motivation. So, you know, getting an award like that is just so lovely, man. I mean, since our conversation started out on that as a joke, make sure your folks know that really doesn't, you know, float my boat. I mean, if it happens, that's fine. But, man, I get to make music with people like Greg Manning, my producer. I'm good, man.
You know what? I've always had felt that I needed to speak things into fruition, and it's long overdue. It's it's long, long overdue. This new album, speaking of long overdue, Epic Cool, and one of the persons that you spoke about, Greg Manning, who is a good friend of the show. He is super talented, and I wanted to ask you, what was it like working with him on this new album?
Man, I can't even sum it up. I can't sum it up in one sentence, you know, just to say that, you know, going in, you know, we had a sort of a hiccup at the beginning, and, you know, in terms of selecting a producer. But when we got Greg on the project, man, it was like that day my life changed. I mean, I've known Greg for over 20 years and first met him playing keyboards for Jonathan Butler. But, you know, as a producer, you know, I wasn't as familiar with them. And yet before he produced my record, he had already garnered some very big success as wearing the producer's hat as opposed to composer keyboardist. But man, when we started trading ideas back and forth, and man, it was like, you know, a couple of them in particular, Badia being one of them, where he just sent me this idea. He's like, I don't even know if you're open to new ideas. You know, we've already got some great stuff, but here's one. He's like, no, all these disclaimers, you know, obligation, whatever, but just check it out. Man, by the end of that day, that song was finished, man. I had written the melody, and I was over here dancing in my studio, man. Badia.
There you go. Greg is such a wonderful spirit. He exudes such a calming effect. His energy is positive, and I know you've always thrived on positive energy. But you know what? I want to take a little detour just for a minute, and I want to send out a lot of love and a lot of grace to your lovely wife. You two have been together for 44 years, and I wanted you to kind of expand on what it has meant to you to have someone that has stood by your side and how inspirational she has been playing an integral part in your career.
Right. So, you know, I met Ruby when I was 15, she was 14. I'm 65 right now. I don't know how she is. I know how she was when I met her. I don't get in that. That ain't my business. But, you know, She was, you know, my muse. I mean, I have this picture. I can, you know, share it with those who are watching. Unfortunately, I'm sure not everybody's watching, but you can go to my kirkwhalum.com and you can see lots of images of her. But this was special because it's taken when we were both 15. I'm sorry, when wow. we were 15 or 14, the year we met, and it's the Sweethearts Ball here in Memphis. And you know, it was, you know, she just rocked my world. And you know, we've been through so much, and that's funny. I'm looking at a text from Marcus Miller, and he and Joel Albright and several of us have the same story. Nathan East, where you know, we look back and we know that we couldn't have made it without this incredibly important and special and beautiful person, right? But with Ruby and me, we just are so grateful that after all of this, man, the ups and the downs and going through fire, that we are more in love and more dependent on each other, I think, in a good way than ever before.
It is definitely a beautiful thing when you know that you have found that special someone that is your yin to your yang, that creates such a balance and provides you such a peace of mind, especially dealing in this thing we call music and the business aspect of it. And I know that you've always been a perfectionist, especially when it comes to your art form. And I wanted to ask you, just kind of stepping back a little bit, looking back at the overall project, your new baby, Epic Cool, how do you think the project finished out for you? What did it mean to you?
Man, I will say in the present tense, you know, what does it mean? You know, it's hard to, you know, elocute, as they say, to verbalize, you know, just what Epic Cool means to me. And by the way, that title was from a friend of mine in San Antonio. Don Harris is is kind of the rockin' sports announcer, journalist there on TV. But he, you know, I sent him a song. I wasn't supposed to, but I sent him a song from the list to. He says, "Man, this is Epic Cool," and that was the title track, as it turns out. And but you know, to say that, I think I speak with lots of folks in your audience who are, you know, 16 over, and there tends to be that kind of Rubicon, you know. In fact, there's a book I'm reading. I finished it, but I'm reading it again, called Falling Upward by the great Father Richard Rohr. I'm Catholic, by the way. And this book, but he's a mystic, and he writes about, you know, basically the two halves of life. You know, it's hard to put an actual line of where does the second half of life begin. It's more a frame of mind, but in the first half, you're seeking after, you know, you're going after it, you know, fill in the blank. Second half, it's more about clarity and a spiritual journey that kind of, you know, reconsiders all the stuff you did in the first half. And so, you know, I was kind of settling into that in a sense, not settling as in I'm not doing anything, but psychologically, right? And then all of a sudden, Epic Cool happens, and man, I'm up dancing, man. It's like, this is, you know, it's like a breath of fresh air, a second lease. You know, it's like all the things that I've been able to accomplish, you know, again, humbly speaking, because in context, you know, it ain't right. I mean, a lot of people, but for me, it's really been something, and I've been so grateful. But man, this record is a completely different level.
And I, you know, it's rare for me to hear that from you, because I know that you take so much pride in all of your music, but to see this glowing aura about you simply discussing this new album is definitely a refreshing aspect in a part of you that very few people get an opportunity to see. There's 11 songs on this new album. How many actually didn't make it on the album?
You know, actually only about 3.
Okay.
That's a really good question though. Bear, you've done this before, brother. But yeah, so only about 3. And it was all good. I mean, sort of like the timing of certain songs, you know, it was like it just wasn't quite time, and or another song came along and just went boom, it's like move over. You know.
Well, I know the many of the listeners and supporters can't wait to get their hands on it. And family, you can get your hands on it. You can also get on it. And actually, it's going to be released, officially released on May the 17th. But you can always go ahead and put in your name and your pertinent information to get in place an order to get your hands, of course, on the new album. Epic, cool. Now, I know next month, actually, no, the latter part of this month, you'll be going on to Dave Koz and Friends at Sea with his Athens and also in Greece. And I wanted to ask you, I see now a lot of artists, especially a lot of jazz artists, they go on this cruise and they have an opportunity to perform in front of people that who have followed you, who have admired you, and who supported your music from the beginning. What is it like to go on that type of cruise, to know that you have that kind of love and being able to engage with so many people who love your music and love what you do?
I'm going to let you in on something, man. You know, just don't share this with anybody, okay?
All right.
Between you and me. So there's an aspect of what we do that is, let me see, what's a good word for it? It's kind of frightful, especially for someone like me. Like I am, as all of us are right now, I'm a package of paradoxes, right? And one of those paradoxes is I am a people person. Like I'll talk your ear off. You know, I just love being around people and sharing my life and finding out, learning from people and sharing their experience. But I'm also a deeply private person. Like this room here in my studio, you know, my wife will tell you, man, I'm a hermit. You know, like I'm not, you know, on my job, you know, in front of people. Like I really do like quiet and you know, thankful for her and just kind of, you know, you have to know as a couple how each other works, you know.
Right.
And but on the cruise ships, unlike concerts, like we do a concert after the show, we'll come out, we'll sign autographs, right? So it's kind of a controlled environment, and you come up and the person, you have a couple of minutes with a person and that's it. But it's great, you know, it's lovely to make that connection. On the cruise ship, you can't control it at all. Like, in other words, it's a glorious thing because we all have access to each other, which, you know, is really nice. But again, for a kind of a, you know, it's like one of my neuroses is just like, I do, for instance, in the morning. I don't like having breakfast around anybody, maybe, but my wife, you know. Okay. Even then, like, you know, we eat at different times, you know, instead of breakfast. Breakfast only. So, man, you wake up and you go to get breakfast and you're surrounded by wonderful people who also happen to be fans, big fans of yours and of your colleagues.
Right.
And so it's on right away. Like you have to be ready for that and be on. And it's over the years, I've really struggled a bit with it. You know, I haven't shared this. So this is news on the Teddy Bear show. but you know, I don't expect a lot of people to understand that, but there are some who do. Pastors and stuff like that. Like, you know that time that you spend alone and just kind of gathering your thoughts and that type of thing is really precious. And again, a spouse who works and is also very busy, they leave space for that. And it really is precious, man. But again, what a privilege it is for me, you know, to be there with, you know, again, 2,000 of our biggest fans. Who wouldn't want that? That's just such a blessing.
It is. But I remember something that you said to me a couple of years ago when I interviewed you. You said, it's always important to have a balance. You have a balance in your life, because if you have such an imbalance, there's no serenity. And you have your serenity. I call it like your fortress of solitude, so to speak. Yeah. Where you have that level of serenity because you spend so much time, because I've seen you perform on several occasions and you put so much energy and so much passion in your live performances. And I used to ask myself, how long does it take Kirk to come down from that, from playing and having that level of interaction and involving the people? How long does it take you to come down from that?
Yeah, that's a really good question. I mean, it varies. I mean, but suffice to say that things like after parties and, you know, meet and greets after the show, I don't do.
Okay.
You know, just as a general rule. And, you know, I think that those are sort of safeguards for that balance, you know. And when a promoter comes to my management and says, hey, we would love to have, you know, him be come to this after party, they go right away. They're like, he's not going to do that.
No. So
let me just tell you right away. If that's the deal breaker, then there's no deal, you know. But I think it is one of those. And I, since you asked about Ruby, that's also a really good boundary to set up when it comes to like temptation.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
You know, when you have, you know, personal contact with people after show, like let's say somebody's really lovely and like, you know, saying, well, man, I just love you. You know, you're Kirk Whalen. You know, like, actually, I'm Ruby's husband who plays the saxophone. That's why I'm, you know. But, you know, I mean, those are just little things that I haven't actually discussed with many people. So, Teddy Bear, thank you for the intimate questions, brother.
Oh, man, it's my pleasure. You know, it's, man, like the late great Leon Ware once said, it's so much deeper than love, brother. You know what I mean? You have to, it's so many different aspects of life that intertwines with music. It's all about the journey. And the journey for you has been incredible. And every day is a learning experience. And you just, you absorb it like a sponge. Mm-hmm. Everything that you do, you absorb it and you learn from it. And you have managed to implement it in your music. I can't wait to hear the entire album. I wish it was coming out sooner than May the 17th, but like they say, great things come to those who wait. I know, as I mentioned earlier, you'll be going to Dave Koz and Friends at Sea. When can we expect you to do as far as the normal touring, as far as coming, of course, here to Houston? Love you to come here to Houston. You, every time you come here, I've been there, so I want to know when you come to Houston before.
Man, I love Houston so much. You know, I mean, not just to mention, I gorge myself with Tex-Mex. You know, I'm not very good. Like you talk about balance. You know, I lose all sense of balance when I'm in Houston, and it's all about Nymphas on navigation, and it's like lunch and dinner. I try not to do breakfast there.
Okay.
Every day, that's where you'll find me. I consume more cheese than the law allows. But
goodness.
You know, but yeah, so I'm actually touring right now. I mean, you know, the cruise is a different story, right? We do the cruises, two sailings, and so that takes up about 3 weeks. And Ruby and I are taking a week or so in Paris after that, just to kind of try to chill. Of course, you know, Teddy Bear, we lived there for a while and we had our kids there for four kids for about 2 years. And, you know, I studied there as a teenager and I just have a deep love for that city. So we're going to be there. And then after that, I'll be back out, you know, touring. In fact, we'll start off in Japan at the Blue Note. And then I have dates. If the people will go to kirkwhalen.com or just go to my Facebook page, or you can click on my link tree and you'll see all of my dates.
Listed,
you know, my touring dates. So there's a lot of them, thankfully, this summer.
Absolutely.
Fall.
You know, I missed the day of the Playboy Jazz Festival. It was such a beautiful thing, or have the concerts by the sea when that club was still around. And I'm seeing now that I see great artists like yourself. They spend an inordinate amount of time touring outside the United States. And I wanted to ask you, you've always been very transparent. Do you think it has been a detriment to a lot of jazz artists that you have had so many jazz clubs and jazz establishments here in the States that have closed down, where it has basically forced you to make a living traveling outside the United States? to perform?
Well, I will say, I mean, we could always use more, you know, great venues for jazz. And again, it tends to be bifurcated. Like on one hand, there are artists like me who live in one place and end up touring in other places. So, you know, right. National artists, as it were. And then other artists who, like I did for years, are considered local artists, at least from the standpoint that you can find them, you know, playing repeatedly at local venues. And so those types of venues, normally jazz bars and things like that, are up and down, right? Like it's a part of the business that's not easy to sustain, because you have to have those people coming, you know, time after time. And Houston, at least, you know, has more than most.
Yes.
Not, you know, but, you know, so next time, I'm talking to you, listener. Next time you complain, well, there's no jazz club, man, you should live in, you know, you should live in Memphis. But, you know, you're right. I mean, it would be great if there were more, but, you know, I think fortunately for us, you know, when we tour, we'll play at small theaters and large clubs. So it tends to not be, you know, right now, I mean, there's, man, but city wineries and places like that all over the country, right. Blue Notes and Blues Alley and I could go on and on, where, there used to be this place, Rockefeller's in Houston, that that was such a great place to play. And that was one of those places that did both. It did both, you know, national and local/national artists. Speaking right. of local/national, let me just send a shout out to Kyle Turner there in Houston, as well as Bobby Lyle and all the other great jazz musicians in that town, man.
It's a lot of them. It's a lot of them. I know the Blue Note has been a safe haven for a lot of great jazz artists like yourself, because they're pretty much there everywhere. But it's a blessing and an honor to have you on the show. So far be it from me to deprive the listeners of some great music. Of course, the first single from the new album, Epic Cool, Badia, by the legendary Mr. Kurt Whalum, here on Night Tracks Radio. We'll be right back. Lord have mercy. Be a part of this new groove. Epic, cool. From the legendary Mr. Kirk Whalum, available and released on May the 17th. Of course, the leading hit single, Body. And be sure to get all the latest information. Be sure to stop by Mr. Whalum's official website. That's at kirkwhalum.com. You're able to get all this updated tour information, but also make sure you submit your application and get this, get your hands on this new album. Brother Whalum, well, yeah, it is.
They can buy it today, basically, you know, pre-order it.
Pre-order
my web. You know, good thing about a name like mine is you can just go to Facebook and search Kirk Whalum, W-H-A-L, like whale, W-H-A-L-U-M. And yeah, there I am. It's like there's only one of me on so far. Although we've had a few instances lately where somebody's, you know, hijacked my name and stuff, but pretty much you're gonna get me on with you type my name in. Pre-order.
Right. Pre-order and get it while you can. Get a taste of this groove, of course. Epic Cool, available as we speak. Pre-order it. And also be sure to check Mr. Whalum out on his live concerts. You can go to his official website to get all the latest updates. It was an honor to have you back on the show. You know, this is your home away from home. Whatever you need, a teddy bear.
I wanted to say too, since, you know, we have kind of made news a little bit on your show, because you tend to, you know, kind of ask the right questions, you know. But let me say that there's, after this single, for the folks who on your show, there are people who are normally a little bit ahead of the curve, because they're, you know, they're dialed in a little bit deeper. Right. So there's a single coming up that's so freaking romantic. It's I'm pretty sure there can be some babies made. I just want to put this out there that just in case the naming opportunity comes up, Kirk means church. And so I think it's a lovely name. Just putting that out there. But the song is called Pillow Talk.
Lord have mercy.
Penny, I'm going to send it to you, man, just so you can hear it. Oh, my goodness.
When you send it to me, we will play it here first. And also, before I let you leave, I want to send out a lot of love to Keb Mo and also the legendary Mr. Herb Albert. I have to do that. Those two gentlemen, very special individuals. But you, Brother Whalum, man, thank you so much for being a part of us and bringing us so much happiness and so much joy. Keep doing what you're doing, man. And it's truly a blessing to have someone that loves you unconditionally and stands by you and brings such balance to this turbulent thing that we call Earth, man. But it's definitely a beautiful thing, man.
Bless you, man. Bless you. Boy. All thank you so much. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I'll see you again soon.
Absolutely. The legendary Mr. Kirk Whalum here on Night Tracks Radio. Remember, family, you can pre-order the new album Epic Cool as we speak on iTunes, Google Play. If you're feeling a little bit more adventurous, you can always head over to Amazon.com and get all the latest updates. Let your fingers do the walking. Stop by his official website. That's at KirkWhalum.com. And for those who miss the interview, no need to fear. We got you covered. If you want to listen to the audio version and let that seep into your ears a little bit, you can always go to our official website on iHeartRadio. That's at Night Tracks with two X's. That's at Night Tracks Radio on iHeartRadio. The same for Spotify, Deezer, and also Pandora. You can also catch the interview, the video version of the interview in its entirety on our YouTube page. In order to do that, you have to make sure that you do subscribe. It costs you nothing to subscribe. They get some music therapy in years. That's at Night Tracks with two X's. That's at Night Tracks Radio Music Podcast. Be sure to subscribe and also be sure to follow us on TikTok, Instagram, and also on Facebook. And the artist formerly known as Square, which is now called X, all the same thing. Night Tracks Radio is definitely a beautiful experience. And no need to fear. We got you covered. We'll be back on air tomorrow live at 12 p.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Central, 3 p.m. Eastern, as we welcome singer, songwriter, and model Aya Ito will be blessing us tomorrow. Yeah, with her new hit single. Can't wait for her to get on the show and speak to her. But I want to thank everyone for tuning in and allowing the teddy bear to help you tune out all this negativity on a warm spring April day. Lord have mercy. But again, I want to thank everyone. And as in always, keep it soulful, keep it positive here on Night Tracks Radio, because without you, there's definitely no teddy bear. Mr. Rated Explorer, Lord have mercy. Keep it soulful, family, as in always.
Won't you please forgive me?
I would have never tried to hurt you. I just needed someone to hold me, to fill the void while you were gone, to fill the space of emptiness. I'm only human, of flesh and blood I'm made. Human, born to make mistakes.
Same with you. While we were apart, I was human too.